Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Again, and by the way, today is Wes Durham joins us. I packed a lot of discipline today, Carl. No boozing. I've been good today. Haven't had one drink today. Being straight with you, Wes. Being straight. All right, haven't had a brew. I could go get one right now, but I've been good today. I've been detoxing.
Let's bring in Wes Durham. Wes, before we get into that, I got to, first of all, because I thought about you last night. I'm watching the documentary.
Yeah.
And they show the shot.
Yeah.
And your dad, Woody, had the call.
Mm-hmm.
For me, all right, and I've talked about this, that was the moment I actually fell in love with college basketball. That point, I'm watching Final Fours, and I couldn't – that changed my whole life as far as basketball, because I wanted to make the shot like so many other, you know, 9- and 10-year-old kids at the time. But your dad, longtime North Carolina voice, had that special call, and now you see the years later where Jordan is – That's going to be there forever, man. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, and you have those moments, and you know, it was. He always joked about it. He said, "All I did was say jumper from out on the left," and you know, and then the Tar Heels are going to win the national championship was the call after Worthy got fouled after the throwaway by Fred Brown, and you know, Michael scored the first points of that season and the last points of that season for Carolina. That's something that people don't talk about nearly enough. He had the first points of the year in a game they beat Kansas in Charlotte in late November, and then obviously hit the jump shot to win it, because after Worthy got fouled, he missed the free throw, which was, you know, that just angst the Carolina people for Georgetown to throw it to the other end one more time. But, yeah, it's weird to watch now, you know, good heavens, 37 years later. It's been 37 years, 1982, since he hit that shot, and I thought about that last night while watching. It was fabulous. I love the first two episodes of this. I'm pumped they're cutting it loose early, and I'm excited for the next four Sunday nights for sure. It was really captivating to hear about, and I think people got an insight. You know, if you grew up in the ACC like I did, you kind of knew about the guy's competitive drive, but as it started to materialize in his 3 years at Chapel Hill, you really saw it. And to this day, I'll tell you, I think he's the most competitive guy to win. He wants to win every time. And you know, sure, it's gotten the best of him a couple times, but at the same time, he's also, in my opinion, still the greatest basketball player the game has ever seen.
It was kind of really neat, though, to see Dean Smith and hear Roy talk about the transformation, how much better he got. And I mean, by the way, we've had this. This is one of those like great sports bar or like barbershop conversations, Wes. Mm-hmm. Is it unfair, though, or just that was Dean's system? He was never going to let Michael be, you know, more than what he was.
Oh, it's unfair because I think what Michael learned and what's going to come out, I'm guessing, in the next 8 episodes, Mike, is that the structure of the team is what was so important to Jordan. I think that's what bothered him about the, you know, he understood the acquisition of Pippen and it cost Charles Oakley and, you know, all these type things. But I think he learned the team structure at Carolina. I think he was a talented, competitive guy when he got to Carolina. I think he got more and more talented in terms of his basketball, but his mindset to do it within the team and to make sure that team was going with him was crafted in those 3 years at Carolina because he saw the preparation that Coach Smith put into it and, you know, the situations that Coach Smith had. I mean, him talking about the timeout before the jump shot last night, he's exactly right. Patrick Ewing is right. That ball was going to Worthy, but when they swung it back around against the Georgetown zone, that's when he said, you know, Michael, knock it in. And it was just very matter of fact in the huddle, by the way. It wasn't, hey, Michael, by the way, you're a freshman, don't think about this. It was slap him on the leg and said in the huddle, hey, Michael, knock it in if it comes to you. So yeah. It just kind of shows you the structure that Coach Smith built in the program at Carolina. And then I thought the other telltale sign real quick last night was when Bob Knight talked about how gifted and talented he was and, you know, Portland needs a center. Well, they ought to draft him and let him play center. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, the Olympics, we forget, you know, that's when amateurs were playing and they just went and you killed the competition. But he put on a show in the Olympics, yeah. And that was before the draft. And you were like, whoa.
Yeah, I got to see that team. Carl, I got to see that team practice. They played that NBA, remember that NBA All-Star deal? I think they played one of those games in the Astrodome back in the day, too. But yeah. I got to see that team practice in Greensboro the day before they played the NBA kind of all-star travel team before they went to Los Angeles. And I had a whole new vocabulary when I walked away from the Bob Knight practice, by the way. But the talent on that 84 Olympic team really didn't get the credit it deserved. That was a great Olympic team. You know, it obviously had some ACC flavor to it, but it had Patrick Ewing was on that. I mean, it was unbelievable who was on that Olympic team that they took to Los Angeles to win that year.
It is West Durham, as we say, Carl. Wes, Drew. It's difficult. We're three guys all digitally linked together here, but you get the idea. Wes is with us here, and you and Arch, and again, everybody, part of the big draft coverage we're going to have starting at 5 o'clock as our show wraps up on Thursday. Wes, before we think about what we're going to do, if you were the GM, what's the number one guy and the number one position you'd want to address in that first pick?
Well, I think if you're Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn, you're going to make a decision here based on kind of where you feel you are. And this is the tricky part with the landscape right now, right? Because, you know, you could say Kendall Sheffield, Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen, Isaiah Oliver, DeMonte KZ are your five. If you're going to play your base nickel like you did a lot last year, then you feel pretty good in the secondary. Is Foye Oluokun shown you enough to take over that other linebacking spot? I mean, that was 100 and what, nearly 60 tackles Devondre Campbell gave you, right? Is Oluokun that guy? Can you buy into that? And do you need to go after maybe potentially the best pass rusher? I don't know. And then if they hold at 16, and you guys know this, the draft is going to come off the rails somewhere in the first 6 to 8 picks, right? Somewhere between 4 and 10, the draft is going to go cuckoo. You know, it always does, right? Somebody does something that they're not supposed to do, right? And can Atlanta react to that and benefit? Do they have to move up to do it? Can they even potentially go back? I told John and Hugh that 3 weeks ago, and people still think I'm crazy, but you lost a second-round pick in the Hayden Hurst deal. I still think you're going to go defense in the first round. I mean, unless there's something out there offensively that you just can't pass on, I still think you're going to try and shore up the defense, to be honest with you guys.
I do, too. And I still look at our football team, you know, just offensively. We got all these shiny pieces, man. I mean, there's no reason this offense can't thrive and be productive and score more points with what we currently have. And, oh, by the way, we added Todd Gurley, who's great in the red zone. So, you know, I think defensively we've got to get more firepower and certainly more star power on that side of the football. And that's where I think we should go as well. It's West Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons.
Carl, the only thing I would add to that, and sorry to interrupt, is can you find a guy? Is somebody going to fall to you? And think about it. At 16, you're midway the first round. I mean, there are all sorts of possibilities of somebody falling to you who you might have had on your board as a top 8 pick. I mean, we've seen it happen too many times. And now we're adding this technological element to the draft. I mean, anything is possible, I think, Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Durham joins us here, guys, along with Arch, of course, the best play-by-play combination in football. We were talking about, trading down. That's another option. I don't know about you, and I'm a nerd on all the mock drafts. I have nothing else to do like everybody else, Wes, on lockdown.
And you're good to tweet them, too. It's always nice to see who you think we're going to get in
well,
these mock drafts.
The only problem with these, as I said, Wes, it's only as good as the algorithms, and some of these are all over the place. So, it's not obviously it's perfect, but I would love to see them address guard. Do you think they feel they got a guard here already in the building?
I think that you have to decide. And today in the teleconference, DQ said that Sean Harlow and Justin McCray would be the backup to Alex Mack, okay? But it doesn't preclude them from taking somebody in the draft. I mean, do you feel like James Carpenter is going to be your answer there? You know, is he going to be healthy enough to hold up? Did you sign Justin McCray to make it a two-for-one in the starting left guard spot? You feel really good about the right side, but where the left guard is the question you're talking about, and I think that's out there. And that's what I mean by something, you know, coming unhinged in the first round. Is there a guard out there that, you know, people think we got to absolutely have, we can't live without type deal? I don't know that there is. You know, we'll see. But I think this is going to get really interesting from that standpoint. I mean, I can tell you the guard that I would like is the kid at Clemson, John Simpson. I think he's as talented as it gets. Mm-hmm. I think he's a potential first-round guy. I think he can play a long time. But, if he's there at 16, do you go that route? I don't know that.
Wes, as we talk about, you know, the Falcons, and we're focused on them, Wes is going to be a part of the coverage, by the way, that's going on. If you are going to listen on Thursday, and we hope that you do, but not only Thursday, all 3 days of the draft, we will have exclusive live coverage of what our team does, the interviews, guys, following that. But Mike Conte, Dave Archer, and Wes Durham will be with you for our primetime draft special, which starts at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. As we talk about this, you know, my big thing with this is fit, and I keep getting back to this. And I think Dan Quinn, I'm not going to say we went away from that over the last couple of years, but there have been some draft picks that you go, okay, you know, and we can talk about them and where they are currently. But I also think the one that we hit on before we go to the Super Bowl in 16, he got guys that fit. Keanu Neal fit what he wanted to do. And I think that's a big part of looking at these guys and going, what fits where we're trying to go defensively and more importantly, at what position? Like, what's that most important position? And I think that helps you kind of narrow things down a little bit.
I don't disagree with that. Remember that night we were the Keanu Neal that led to Deion Jones, Devondre Campbell draft, right? We were, remember we were there in the afternoon going around and round and round. And
that's right.
Keanu Neal had just kind of surfaced publicly in about, 72 hours prior to the draft.
yeah.
I mean, you know, we were all about, you know, potentially somebody else. You know, and I remember all the way back to 2008, Mike, when we went through the Glenn Dorsey, Matt Ryan saga. Remember that?
And I said, you build through defense, Wes. That's how you build a championship.
I think that, you know, we had C.J. Henderson floated out there. Atlanta's already come out as one of the most aggressive teams in the draft. I mean, we're following the same script we tend to follow just about every year, right? Which is actually in some ways a good thing because you don't really know what the hell you're going to get. And that's, I think they've got an idea what they want to do. If they have an opportunity to move up, do they have the inventory to do it?
Right.
You know, it cost you a two to get Hayden Hurst. Would you like to get that two back? Yeah, I would. I think you had something going in the second round with as much depth as there is in this. And here's the other thing, too. You know, you signed Todd Gurley. Does that mean that your running back of the future is Todd Gurley, or is it, you know, Ito Smith or Brian Hill or Kadri Allison? I mean, you know, you've got some other areas, too, you'd like to address. I think that's what's fascinating about where Atlanta is, especially in the first 143 picks as it currently stands, where they got five picks.
Yeah, I think the one thing we could all agree with, Wes, is anybody talking about us getting a quarterback is out of their mind. There's a time for a quarterback and a project and doing it in the third round, but this is a draft. If I'm Quinn and Dimitrov, I've got to get those starters I got like in 16. It's imperative.
Well, and I think the, you know, whatever came out today about the potential, Jalen Hurts, if that's a fit in the operating system of Atlanta's offense, I need to see more of the offense. Then there, you know, are we going through some sort of transition in that position? But. I mean, Jalen Hurts is an attractive guy in the draft from the standpoint of his competitive ability, but I'm not sure that that's where Atlanta falls. I think there's some other guys out there that you would, that you might want to look at, and Jalen Hurts may be gone by the end of the second round to somebody.
Well, it's going to be fun. It'll be interesting as it always is. Wes, we thank you for jumping on with us.
You got to cook Monday nights, by the way? Just checking.
No, just Fridays. It's just on Fridays. That's the Dukes and Bell
well,
tailgate
Wes,
at home.
I don't know how it is up there with Stately Durham Manor. My wife cooks every night.
Yeah, okay, Mike. Keep that attitude up. I can see you living on that balcony. The one you take the ceremonial cocktail panoramics from every night.
That's right. Well, it's balcony life right now, brother. Hashtag
Carl,
balcony.
Carl, I got to tell you, I am truly, truly worried about your boy. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you mean all the stuff that he's putting out there? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Hey, boy, I tell you what, there are not many. A lot of us need live sports back, Carl, for obvious reasons. Mike really needs live sports back.
No. Listen, no. We do. We all do, no doubt about it. Well, hey, man.
Glad don't need it more than others, Carl. Let's go ahead and be honest.
Hey, man. Hey, bro, honestly, I want to stay here. When we go back to work, Carl, I want to stay in my house.
Mike,
I'm
I got news
here.
For you. Mike, I got news for you. You're going to walk your butt to the station and do the show.
All right, fine.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.